You're listening to Sound Effect here on 88.5 KNKX, and we're talking about risks and rewards today. And as we just heard, sometimes the risk just isn't worth it. But for some professions, there is no backing down. Taking risks is a requirement of the job. This is the case with professional football. It's arguably the most dangerous sport to play and the most popular to watch. The National Football League has tweaked some rules to make things a little safer for players, but these athletes, they still get hurt quite badly. Last November, Seattle Seahawks wide receiver Ricardo Lockett suffered an injury that almost killed him. Lockett recently spoke to GeekWire reporter Taylor Soper at the annual GeekWire Summit as part of the Geeks Give Back campaign, and he talked about the reward of finally being able to make it onto CenturyLink Field as a professional player, and the devastating injury that led to his retirement.
So you made the team, but you didn't actually play your first game until about 4 months later, December. Home game, CenturyLink Field. I mean, you gotta be like, it's electric, right?
For sure.
And the first play, Seahawks have the ball, Tavares Jackson drops back, 44 yards, you're right there, you make the catch. You're right on the Seahawks sideline. Everyone's going crazy. I mean, that's got to be like an amazing feeling.
That was actually one of the best days of my career because my dad, coincidentally, my dad's favorite team is the 49ers.
Perfect.
retract that. no, his team is the 49ers. But so my first play was Christmas Eve. We played the 49ers on Christmas Eve. And I told my dad, I said, hey, watch the game today. I got something to show you. So he's thinking, he doesn't know that I'm active. He just thinks, hey, he's going to be standing on the sideline with a sweatsuit. I hope he doesn't run across the field and do something crazy. But so the very first play of the game, Christmas Eve, my dad's favorite team, his son that he's coached his entire life, is walking out on the field. And he's like, he said, I was watching it and I thought that was you. I wasn't quite sure. And next thing I knew, they hiked the ball and they threw you the ball, and I was just hoping that you caught it. I was hoping that you caught it, and when you caught it, I couldn't stop the tears from my eyes because you, that was everything I wanted you to experience. I wanted you to know that you are great and that anything is possible. So that Christmas Eve was one of the best Christmas Eve and the best gifts I probably could have gave my dad.
Yeah, it's an amazing moment. So let's jump to last November, almost a year ago now. Mm-hmm. You're in Dallas. You're sprinting down as fast as you can on the punt coverage, and bam, you know, you get hit, you fall, you're not moving. What was going on in your mind?
So on this play, we typically don't like the Cowboys, but so we're running down, and Coach Carroll, he's like, hey, let's go, Rocket, we need you, let's roll. And he's really high energetic like this. So, but we're getting ready to roll, and the ball is snapped, and I give a move, and I'm running down the field, and I check to see the flight of the ball because I'm going right for the returner, no breaks. So I'm running right for him, and I see him, and I'm pushing this guy off, and then all of a sudden I hear kind of the sound where you hear if you were hit a fork on the side of a glass. It's like this ding, and I'm just laying there. And the only thing I could move is my eyes. And I'm looking around. I can't hear anything. And that was a moment where a lot of things changed in my life. I look at myself as a warrior. I look at myself as someone that can't be stopped. I look at someone that has just an unbreakable personality. And at that moment, I was extremely vulnerable. I wasn't a warrior. Yeah, there was nothing that I could do for myself. So I'm laying there and I'm just asking God to just give me the opportunity to get up and walk again. Give me the opportunity to hug my mom again. Give me the opportunity to at least tell my daughter that I love her and I want her to be great in life. And at that point, I'm laying on the ground and touchdowns and X's and O's and Super Bowls don't matter anymore. And that's when you realize what's really important in life. And what's really important in life is affecting others in a positive way, how they feel about you. And if you leave today, what did you do to help mankind, your family, your brothers, your sisters? And that's what's important to me now. And you know, I had great doctors and a great training staff that helped me out. and I'm laying there, and pretty much my skull is disconnected from my spinal cord. And if my teammates were to come over and say, hey, get up, you know, and pull my hand or move my arm, I would have died. If the play would have extended a couple more seconds and the guy would have ran the ball and fell on top of me or whatever, I would have died. If the training staff had came over and just tried to pick me up or put me on the cart some kind of way, I probably would have died. But I think I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful to God that I'm here, because their training, their studying, their passion for what they want to do, what they wanted to do and be, saved my life. And I dare not take that for granted, because there's a lot of people that are in the hospital right now that are fighting for their lives. There's a lot of people that's not here today. And I dare not waste another day not giving my all to be the best I can be and giving my all to help others complete their dreams and their goals in life.
Yeah, that's really good. That's awesome.
Yeah, it had definitely changed. So maybe like an hour after the hit happened, it took my daughter and my family a little while to get to the hospital. And my mom and the doctor says, hey, your daughter's outside. My daughter, November 1st was actually her birthday. So she came to that game as a birthday gift from me. And so she's like, she's outside, she's 10 years old. And she's at the door, blah, blah, blah. And and they're like, do you want her to come in? So at this point, I have to think about, you know, I'm the hero, I'm the warrior in my daughter's life. She's my little girl, she's my angel. Do I want her to see me like this? And, you know, daddy's all bandaged up, stuff's all on his neck, wires and stuff everywhere. Do I want her to see me like this? Do I want to see her at my weakest point? So my answer was yes, because I wanted her to feel okay. I didn't want her to go to sleep not knowing what happened to daddy, or not knowing this and not knowing that. So I wanted to fill that void in her brain. Once she got in, all my tears went away, all my pain went away, because like I say, my purpose was bigger than the effort or the work it took to get the job done. The job that I had to get done was to show my daughter that no matter what happens, you can always win. There's always another day. Hey, daddy's gonna be okay. You know, don't cry. It's okay. It's football. You know, it's not. We're gonna have a birthday party tomorrow. At this point, I don't know if my neck is broken. I don't know if I ever walk again. I have no idea. But all I know is that I have 2 to 3 minutes with my daughter that thinks I'm the greatest thing that ever happened to life. And I have to make her happy. And that was what I did, and I'm glad that I chose to let her come in the room.
Yeah, it's an amazing moment. And so you did decide to retire earlier this year, and as we talk about how your perspective has changed, you've also, I mean, it's tough to hang up the cleats, but you dedicated your life to helping others in need.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because others helped me when I was at the lowest point or at the worst point in my life. And coming out of the hospital, I would say maybe like an hour after that, I saw a group of homeless people on the corner, and it had to be at least 100 of them. And I couldn't believe that this many homeless people were on the street, because, you know, in Georgia, you don't see that many. In Seattle, you see it here and there, but Dallas, it was more people on the street than is probably in here. And I was just wondering, what could I do? What could I do? What could I do? And I'm an hour out of surgery. Obviously, I can't do much. I can barely move. And I tell the driver to turn around. Let's go by this burger place. And we bought 100 burgers. And ever since that day, trying to help homeless and just giving back has just been a snowball effect for me. And I'm excited about everything that I'm going to be doing and doing in the future.
Yeah, that's awesome. And speaking of helping others, you are helping out the Seattle Science Foundation with some pretty cool work they're doing with spinal injuries. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, these guys are amazing. The Seattle Science Foundation is actually ran by Dr. Shane Tufts and Dr. Rod Askewian. They're great. And what we're planning to do is we're trying to raise awareness for a spinal cord injury. We want to raise awareness. There's actually 17,000 spinal cord injuries that happen every year. And our plan is to do actually the first 3D mapping of the spinal cord so that we have a better understanding of how it works, the different intricates of the brain and how it works with the spinal cord to one day make the wheelchair a thing of the past.
That was former Seattle Seahawk Ricardo Lockett talking to GeekWire reporter Taylor Soper recently at the annual GeekWire Summit.